last night, I talked about sixth-sense dolls, which serve as the entrances for the objects to enter into the mind. Since there are six sense doors, there must be six kinds of objects and also six kinds of consciousness that roughly correspond to the six sense doors. Now, when a type of consciousness arises, it must always have an object. So, consciousness cannot arise without an object, without taking an object. We can understand it when we understand the definition of consciousness in Abhidhamma. So in Abhidhamma, consciousness is defined as that which is aware of the object, or just the awareness of the object. Since it is the awareness of the object, if there is no object, there can be no awareness. And so consciousness always needs an object to hang on to or to lean on to. These objects are called āramaṇa or ālambaṇa in Pali. The literal meaning of the word āramaṇa is something where consciousness takes delight. That means something consciousness takes as object. And the meaning of the other word, ālambaṇa, is that something to hang on to. So consciousness must have something to hang on to for its arising. And the objects are compared to a walking stick, see, which helps an invalid or someone who cannot walk well, see, to walk. So the person relies on the stick and do the walking. In the same way, consciousness rely on the object for its arising. And it is also compared to a line or a rope which helps a blind person to reach the place he wants to go. So the blind person holds on to the rope and then go along the rope until he reaches his destination. In the same way, the consciousness holds on to these objects. So consciousness is never without an object. And as there are six sense doors, or six entrances, there are six kinds of objects. And the first five kinds of objects are not difficult to understand. For the eye door, the object is something that can be seen, something visible. So it is called visible datum. Now, in Abhidhamma, it is taught that there are 28 material properties. And among them, there is what is called rupa, or what is translated as form, or sometimes color, which is the visible object or visible datum. And that visible datum is what we call the visible object or sight. It has the characteristic of impinging on the eye sensitivity. That means it comes into contact with eye sensitivity. And its function is to be the objective field of eye consciousness. That means its function is to become the object of seeing consciousness. It is manifested as the resort of that very eye consciousness. Since eye consciousness has to take the visible object as object, the visible object becomes the resort of eye consciousness. So it is manifested as the resort of eye consciousness. So when we see something, and the thing we see is the present one, then we see it through the eye door and with the eye consciousness or seeing consciousness. But what we see with eye consciousness or seeing consciousness is that visible data, that visible object, that one material particle among the 28 material properties. Now, there's a saying that seeing is believing. But when we study Abhidhamma, we come to know that that is not true. Seeing is deceiving. If you look at your thumb, and you think you see your thumb, you see the shape or form of thumb. But actually what you see as the present object is just the visible data in the body of the thumb. So with that, with the seeing consciousness through the eye door, what we see is that that reality which we call visible datum or visible object. But the shape or form which we think we see is actually seen through mind door and not through eye door. After seeing the visible data in the thumb, we conjure up these material properties into a shape or form, the shape of a thumb, and then with that mental thought process, we see, or say we think we see, the shape or form of the thumb. So the shape or form of the thumb is the object of another type of consciousness, but not of the seeing consciousness. And that shape or form is taken through the mind door and not through the eye door. It's difficult to accept, but this is what is taught in Abhidhamma. So whenever you see something and you think you see it, that the very thing you see is the visible datum. And if you think you see the book, or you see a man, or you see a woman, or whatever, then you are seeing with mind door and not with the eye door. So that visible datum may not be just one particle. It may be the combination of many material particles. And then the eye takes that group of material particles as object, and then when that object is presented through the eye door, then eye consciousness arises. So eye consciousness arises depending on the eye and also on the visible data or the visible object. And as I said yesterday, the eye consciousness just arises when when visible object comes into the avenue of the eye. Not that eye consciousness is pre-existent somewhere and then it is made to appear in the mind. But it just appears in the mind when these two conditions are met. And there are other conditions also. So this is the first kind of objects which we experience through the eye door. And then the next object is sound, or audible object. Sound is also one kind of material property, or one among the 28 material properties. And this sound is taken through the eye door, or it enters our mind through the eye door. And when that sound is taken through the eye door, when it strikes at the inner ear or ear sensitivity, then there is hearing consciousness or ear consciousness. So ear consciousness takes the sound or audible object as object. And when that audible object comes into the avenue of the ear or strike the eardrums, then the hearing consciousness is produced or hearing consciousness arises. This sound has also the characteristic of impinging on the ear. And its function is to be the object of ear consciousness. It is manifested as the result of that very ear consciousness. It is of various kinds as drum sound, tabla sound, and so on. Now, there can be many kinds of sounds, as there can be many kinds of visible data, as blue, yellow, and all that. So, the visible datum really is color. But here it is the sound which can be heard. The next kind of object is smell, olfactory object. And smell is also one among the 28 material properties. And when that smell comes into contact with the nose sensitivity, then smelling consciousness or nose consciousness is produced. And this odor or smell has the characteristic of impinging on the nose. Its function is to be the object of nose consciousness. It is manifested as the result of that very nose consciousness. It is of various kinds as root odor, hardwood odor, and so on. So, so there are many kinds of smells or odor. So when the smell or odor comes into contact with the sensitive parts in the nose, then we have the smelling consciousness. And the next is taste. Taste is also one of the 28 material properties. It has the characteristic of impinging on the tongue. Its function is to be the object of tongue consciousness. It is manifested as the result of that very tongue consciousness. It is of various kinds, as root taste or root flavor, trunk flavor, and so on. So whatever we experience with the tongue is called taste or flavor. And that is one of the 28 material properties, and it is the object of the tasting consciousness or tongue consciousness. So it is, it enters the mind through the tongue door. And the next is, it's not mentioned here. The next is tangible data. According to Abhidhamma, tangible data, or that which can be touched, is nothing but the combination of three primary elements, three great elements. That is the element of earth, the element of fire, and the element of air. So these three elements combined together are called tangible data. So when we feel something, when we feel the touch of something, we are actually feeling these three primary elements, the earth element, wind, fire element, and wind element. In Abhidhamma, it is said that water element cannot be touched. Water element means cohesiveness in water, not the water itself, because everybody knows that water can be touched. We can touch the water, but we cannot touch the cohesiveness inherent in water. So it is said that since water element cannot be touched, it is excluded from the tangible data. So when we say touch or tangible data, we mean the three combination of three great primaries or three great elements. And they have the characteristic of impinging on the body, and their function is to be the objective field of body consciousness, and they are manifested as a result of that very body consciousness. And so the body sensitivities exist all over the body, except and those parts that are not sensitive, like the nails and the tip of the hair. So whenever there is a touch, that means the tangible object is presented to the mind through the body door. And so when these two come together, actually a physical contact, then there is produced the consciousness of touch or body consciousness. So body consciousness arises when tangible object and body door meet or come together. So these are the five objects corresponding to the five senses. They are not difficult to understand. Now the last one is called Dhamma object. This word cannot be translated, so it is better to keep it untranslated than to translate it with an inaccurate word. Now, Dhamma object means the five sensitivities, eye sensitivities, nose sensitivities, and so on. And then among the 28 material properties, there are 16 that are described as subtle material properties. Water element is said to be subtle material property. And gender, male sex and female sex, is said to be subtle material property. Life principle, or something that keeps the body alive, it's also called subtle material property. So these subtle material properties are not, they cannot be seen by the eyes. So they can be sensed only through mind. And they are called Dhamma objects. And then all types of consciousness, mental states or mental factors, Nibbana, and concepts. So all these are called Dhamma objects. Some material properties, all types of consciousness, all mental factors, Nibbana, and concepts. And they are presented to us through mind door. Now, visible object is experienced through eye door when it is present and when there is seeing consciousness or eye consciousness. But when we see in our mind the visible object, when we see something in our mind, say the object belonging to the past, then it is presented through mind door and not through the eye door. So the visible object can be experienced through the eye door as well as the mind door. But the eye door can only take the visible object. So there are these six kinds of objects roughly corresponding to the six kinds of sense doors. Then corresponding to six sense doors or six kinds of objects, there are six kinds of consciousness. So the first is seeing consciousness, the second, hearing consciousness, the third, smelling consciousness, the fourth, tasting consciousness, the fifth, touching consciousness, and the sixth, we call it mind consciousness. So, there are 89 types of consciousness, and there are two types of seeing consciousness, one that sees desirable objects and the other that sees undesirable objects. So, two types of seeing consciousness, two types of hearing consciousness, and so on. So we get 10 types of consciousness that have to do with five senses. So 89 minus 10, 79. The remaining 79 types of consciousness are called mind consciousness here. So there are six kinds of consciousness, six kinds of objects, and six kinds of doors. And they correspond to each other roughly or more or less. Now, when an object is presented to the door, or when the object comes into the avenue of the door or sensitivity, there arises consciousness. And that seeing consciousness, or and others like hearing consciousness, smelling consciousness, and so on, these types of consciousness are actually the result of the past karma. So at the very moment of seeing, hearing, and so on, what we experience in our mind is the result of the past karma at the very moment of seeing, at the very moment of hearing, at the very moment of smelling, and so on. If what we see this desirable object, then the seeing consciousness is the result of good karma in the past. If what we see is an undesirable object, then the seeing consciousness is the result of bad karma in the past. So at the very moment of seeing, or at the moment of seeing consciousness, it is just the result of the past karma, and there is no way we can change it. We have no choice at this very moment. We just have to accept it. It may be the result of good karma, or it may be the result of bad karma, depending on the type of object we come across. But later, a few moments later, we react to this object. At the moment of reacting to the object, we acquire a fresh karma. And that fresh karma can be either good, wholesome karma, or unwholesome karma, depending on how we react to it. For example, we see something beautiful. At the very moment of seeing, and at the moment of seeing consciousness, it is the result of the past karma. Since it is a resultant type of consciousness, we have no choice. We have to accept it. But when we come to react to it, we may react to that object with wholesome consciousness or unwholesome consciousness. Since it is a beautiful object, we may like it and we may be attached to it. So when we like it and attach to it, there is the unwholesome consciousness. If we are not attached to it, even though it is beautiful, because we have practiced vipassana meditation and so we know it is impermanent and so on, then we react to it with wholesome consciousness. So, at the moment of reacting to it, there is a choice, actually. We may react to it with wholesome consciousness or unwholesome consciousness. And that reaction to these objects is what we call karma. So when we acquire karma. So in order to avoid reacting to these objects with unwholesome consciousness, we have to practice meditation, or we have to have control over our minds. And that is where the practice of meditation comes in. So if we do not practice meditation, and also if we are not well read, then we may react to these objects with unwholesome consciousness. Say, if we see something which is undesirable, we tend to get angry with it, or we tend to be depressed regarding it, and so we tend to react to it with unwholesome thoughts. Once we understand the nature of these objects, that they are impermanent, and so there is nothing to be taken as permanent, and they are just phenomena, then we can keep ourselves from getting angry with it, and so we can react to the undesirable object or an ugly object with wholesome states or wholesome consciousness. So the reaction to the objects is quite different from the moment when we receive the object. So at the moment of receiving the object, there is no choice. We just have to accept. But when we react to these objects, then we have a choice. So in order to make that choice, tend towards wholesome mental state, say we practice meditation. So through the practice of meditation, we can train ourselves to react to these objects that tend towards wholesome mental state. Say we practice meditation. So through the practice of meditation, we can train ourselves to react to these objects that presented to us through the six sense doors, say with wholesomeness, with equanimity, with calmness. So that is why, say, we have to practice meditation. We have to be watchful. We have to be mindful of, say, everything we come across or everything that is presented to us through the six sense doors. And vipassana is just that. Vipassana is just the mindfulness or observation of the objects that are presented to us at the, say, through the six doors, and we are to be mindful of them. We are to make notes of them as and when they are yet present. That is why the present moment is the most important in vipassana meditation. So now we have three sets of things. The doors, or the entrances, or the receptors, and then the objects, and then the we can say the result of the receptors and objects coming together, so which is consciousness. So these three go together. And when these three come together, what is called contact is produced. By contact, we don't mean just the coming together of the three, but something that arises as a result of the coming together of the three. Now, it is important to understand this way, because in most translations, the text is translated not in a way that is accepted by tradition. So their coming together is not contact, but something that arises out of their coming together is what we call contact. Contact is one of the mental states or mental properties. Then along with contact, there arise also feeling, perception, and many other mental factors. So these mental factors arise together with consciousness. They always accompany consciousness. And without the arising of consciousness, mental factors cannot arise. Although they arise together, consciousness is a leader of them. Only when there is consciousness can the mental factors arise. So when you practice vipassana meditation, you may be able to see at least some of these types of consciousness and also the mental factors through the practice of mindfulness. through keeping yourself alert and through watching those that are presented to you through the six sense doors. So first we have six sense doors, eye door, ear door, and so on, and then six kinds of objects, visible object, audible object, and so on, and then six kinds of consciousness, seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, and so on. And the last is mind consciousness. Now, let us see what is seeing according to Abhidhamma. If we know what is seeing, we also know what is hearing and so on. So a few moments ago I told you, when you look at the thumb and you think you see the thumb, actually what you see is not the shape or form of the thumb, but the visible data in the body of the thumb. Now, whenever some object is presented to the mind through one of the doors, there arises not only one consciousness, but a series of consciousness, series of the moments of consciousness. And that series of consciousness is called a mental thought process. So whenever we see something or we hear something, there arises in our mind this series of thought moments or this thought process. And these thought processes interrupt the flow of life continuum or the bhavanga. So first there is the bhavanga flowing, and then something is presented to us, and then the bhavanga is interrupted and the thought process takes its place. Now, in order to just see an object, we need 14 thought moments. First there is the object coming into the avenue of the eye. And when it comes into the avenue of the eye, it strikes again the life continuum, and so life continuum is vibrated or shaken. And then it stops. And in its place there arises one thought moment called adverting. That means turning the mind towards the object, or turning the mind towards the thought process. So that first thought moment is the turning point of the thought process, or let us say active thought moments. When it has been turned towards the object, then mind sees the object. So there is a seeing consciousness. After seeing it, the mind accepts the object. And so there is the accepting or receiving consciousness. After accepting or receiving the object, the mind investigates it, whether it is a desirable object or undesirable object. So there is the investigating moment. And after investigating, there comes the decision. Yeah, this is an object, and this is a desirable object, and this is the undesirable object. Then after the determination comes the real experience of the object. And this real experience of the object consists of seven thought moments. And it is during these seven thought moments that our reaction takes place, and that the karma is acquired. So the karma is acquired during these seven thought moments of full experience of the object. After the seven thought moments of full experience, there follow two moments of aftertaste. These two moments are compared to the water following the boat. So there are 14 active thought moments in this one thought process. And at the end of these 14 thought moments, we have seen the object. We have reacted to that object. But in that very, the first thought process, the reaction may be very weak. So weak that it may not amount to a real karma. But after that, on the same object which has passed, mind or thought processes follow. And during these mind or thought processes, there is also the reaction to the object, and at that time the reaction is strong, and so actually we acquire karma during those thought moments, and seven thought moments. So what we call seeing, a very simple, seemingly simple act, is actually a very complex one. And that is not all. With that first thought process, we just see the visible datum. Then there is a next set of thought processes. We cannot say how many. And that next set of thought process takes the past object as object. That is like remembering the object. And at that moment, the object of the thought process is still visible data. Then with the third kind of thought process, we come to see the shape or form of it. Now we are grasping the concept, not the reality. And then, during the fourth kind of thought processes, we know the name of it. See, when we see a book, and the word book may pop up in our mind. So in order to say that I see a book, I need at least four sets of thought processes. Actually, five sets of thought processes. First, seeing the present object, and then the the taking the combination of the material properties, and that is called another thought process. And then taking the thing as a concept, and then the name concept. So we need four or five sets of thought processes in order to say I see a book, or I see a watch, or whatever. And during the practice of meditation, we may be able to detect some of these stages, or some of these types of consciousness. We cannot see all of them one by one, because it is only the borders. So you can see these types of consciousness one by one clearly. But with the help of meditation, with the help of strong concentration, we may be able to detect some of the stages or some of the types of consciousness in these mental processes. And only when we see for ourselves these types of consciousness can we say that we really understand them. If we do not see them for ourselves, then our knowledge is just a borrowed knowledge or second-hand knowledge. So first, say we borrow the knowledge, and later we make that knowledge our own. So we need to understand the six sense doors and then six kinds of objects and six kinds of consciousness so that we can understand the talks given by the teachers at the retreats, or we can understand fully when we read books on Vipassana or books on Abhidhamma. So these are the basic things we need to have knowledge of in order to understand Abhidhamma and in order to understand talks properly. Now there are some other things. So we need to know with regard to the practice of meditation. And that is the six kinds of temperaments. I think I have talked about them in one of my talks here. Now when the not in this book, when the Venerable Buddhaghosa described or gave instructions on how to go about practicing meditation, he first said that we must purify our moral conduct, and then we must cut off the impediments, and then we must find a good teacher, and then we must take up a subject of meditation suitable for our temperament. And then we must cut off smaller impediments, and then we must go to a suitable place for meditation and practice meditation. So when we practice meditation, first we must understand that there are many choices, many kinds of subjects of meditation, and then with the help of a teacher we choose a type of meditation which is most suitable for us. But in practice, we do not bother about the temperaments and others. We just practice, say, breathing meditation or Vipassana meditation or whatever. That is because whatever meditation you choose, it is good for you. It can help you, say, to get rid of or to diminish the unwholesome states in your mind, and it can help you to develop wholesome states in your mind. So most people don't bother about what temperament they are and what kind of meditation to choose. But in Visuddhimagga, these six kinds of temperaments are mentioned in detail, and advice is given to choose a meditation subject suitable for one's temperament. But it also said that it is not taught by the Buddha, it is not explained in the commentaries, but it is the opinion of the teachers, and so you may or may not follow this advice. So there are six kinds of temperament, and I will tell you about them tomorrow. But it's interesting. Because a teacher cannot know the temperament of his students unless he can read the minds of his students. So if a teacher cannot read the minds of the student and he wants to give advice to his students what kind of meditation to take, first he must find out of what temperament they are. And there are some ways of knowing, let's say by inference, the knowing of what temperament a certain person is. And so it is interesting, and it may help us to understand the nature of people, through their doing things or deportment, what kind of food they like, what kind of color they like, and how they behave, and so on. So from this we can deduce that this person has a temperament of greed or the temperament of hate, and so on. So these are interesting, and they are described in Visuddhimagga in detail. And so tomorrow I'm going to tell you about these six temperaments. Okay.